was the night before Christmas. The weather was nice. Not a creature was stirring, not even dear Spice. The dip pens were cleaned on the desk with care, in hopes that new inks soon would be there.
The podcasters were nestled all snug in their beds, while new ideas for content danced in their heads. Stu in the sunshine and TJ in the cold. Not exactly fair, truth to be told.
When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew in a flash, tore newly hung curtains, threw open the sash. What should I see but a Christmas podcast? I exclaimed, about time, at last!
On notebooks and pencils, on stationery addiction, on ink pens and TV, on reading non-fiction, so on their podcatchers the listeners did click. It's Christmas Eve, folks, you better be quick.
It's sure to be festive, it's sure to run long, so I'll keep this short and play the theme song. For more details, check out our website.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night! There we go. That was fun.
Excellent. Very good work.
Merry Christmas, Stu.
Merry Christmas.
We find ourselves at our first Christmas episode, which is rather exciting. And let's get into the regulars, I think.
Okay, then. Well, I'll kick us off. I am writing with the Enso XS Pocket Fountain Pen. This was a little Kickstarter find. It's from LA in California. It's a lovely little pen, a tiny little pocket pen. It's a Bock nib, for those familiar with that sort of thing. I got the black aluminium with the black nib. It's very stealth. It's very cool.
I saw that picture. It looks great.
Beautifully. Yeah, it's a really nice pen. So I'm using that, alternating that with my Rodia pencil, which is now down in Steinbeck. So soon to be off to the stub jar, I think. And I'm coming towards the end now of my Nomad Notes Sea Airspace, which are those lovely notebooks with the mixed pages. They're fantastic. And I'm still bullet journaling.
Oh, very good.
What about you? What are you what are you writing with and on?
So I've gone back to old staples. I'm still writing in my Nomad Space, much like yourself. And I'm writing in it with a Blackwing 602, which is... actually, now that I look at it, probably almost Steinbeck as well, because the ferrule on the Blackwing kind of throws you off a little bit, but it is essentially Steinbeck if I hold it normally. But I forgot how much I like the 602. It's probably my favorite, and I've been writing with all sorts of weird and wonderful volumes Blackwings. It's nice to go back to the kind of one that started it all. And so I find this today, and I've been writing with it all day, and it's quite pleasant.
Excellent. And what are you writing in?
My Nomad Space, which is my current everyday carry. Which I'm actually getting through at a fairly good rate. I've tried to up the ante to keep pace with yourself. And so we're actually about a third of the way through it now. And I only started it a week or two ago, so that's not bad.
That's very good. It's I'll have to send you some more notebooks.
Please, not yet. I have so many. I'm currently unpacking them. And my goodness, I'm having to give them away as Christmas gifts because I have so many.
Well, bizarre that you should say that, because some fellow with exactly your name purchased some notebooks only this morning.
Yeah, this is the problem I have. And so on one hand, I'm giving them away, and another, I'm ordering more. So I went on to your website, Nero's Notes, with the intention of buying some gifts for a relative, and did so, and then couldn't... Well, we had that offer code, you know, and so I couldn't leave it below 40, so I just took it up to 40 with a few bits and pieces that I wanted, mainly the Steno, the Field Notes Steno pad, which I had always wanted to try, and a few other odds and sods. And we ended up getting over 40, so then I used our nice little offer code and brought it back down, but ordered as many things for myself as I did for other people, which is how every online shop should be.
Well, indeed. Look, you've got to love yourself before anybody else will.
It is the season of giving to me.
Exactly. And what about watching? Are you watching anything?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm well into The Office, which I found on Amazon Prime, which is the American version of The Office. And one of my favorite series of all time. Really, really good. Season 3 at the minute. And it's fantastic. It's really good comedy. Really well written. Really well timed. And timeless. It's been on there for quite a while, but it still holds up.
Very good. In continuation, I'm still watching The Last Kingdom, which is it's about Wessex, and it's written by Bernard Cornwell, who wrote all the Sharp novels. This is a man who knows how to write a saga. And it's very good. I'm watching all sorts of exciting ways of Danes to kill Saxons and vice versa. it's all quite graphic. A bit came on this evening, actually. I'm in series three now. And my sister-in-law, who's a little bit older than me, she would be a senior citizen by any measure, looked somewhat perturbed by the sudden explosion of violence and blood and guts everywhere. So it was one of those sort of family moments. I'm just going to go downstairs and record a podcast. Bye. Watching a bit of that, mostly when I'm trying to get Spice to go to sleep. As she certainly yesterday has developed some interesting sleeping patterns, largely along the lines of sleeping during the day and not at all at night. And not sleeping at night involves whining, scratching, and generally being quite noisy. Therefore, that's meaning that I'm not sleeping.
Yeah.
So the poor dog has been run ragged today. Anytime she's shown any signs of resting, I've been rubbing her belly, pinching her ear, pulling her whiskers, doing anything to get her active again, even if that involves her biting me. She's now drawn blood 4 or 5 times. Those puppy teeth really are quite serious. Including a very, very decorative one on my ear.
Acrobatic?
Yes, indeed. Where as a young man, I did have pierced ears, and I have them again, it would seem.
Retro.
Yeah, indeed. So that's my viewing. I've been listening to my usual diet of podcasts, although I have cut that down now. Some people have been cut from the rotation.
Because
I worked. I only really listen now when I'm working or when I'm in my office, which might not be the same thing. And I worked out that I'd need to be in the office at least 14 hours a day, 7 days a week, to keep going with my podcasts. So
that's quite substantial.
That's quite a lot, yeah. So I've cut a few of those out. And as a consequence, I've been listening to a bit of music. And I've been experimenting with this newfangled thing called YouTube. You may have come across it. I don't know.
Heard of it once or twice.
It's very demanding because I have to kind of watch it and listen to it.
It's demanding two senses of you rather than just the one.
Indeed, yeah. So mostly I've been catching up with on everybody's thoughts on bullet journaling because, as has been extensively covered, I'm kind of back into that. What about you? Are you listening to anything?
Yeah, Christmas classics now on repeat on the home speakers. So I have the whole house wired up to the Google Home devices so I can play it in every room. And so the Christmas songs have been full tilt for the past couple of days.
Yeah, there's been a fair amount of that knocky around here. If it's not on the home speakers, then we have a radio station here in English. It's the Forces Radio.
Yeah.
The Fairy Tale of New York does ring out at least once an hour.
The Pogues, yeah. I'll be in Dublin this weekend coming, actually.
I take it there'll be the abuse of alcohol will be involved?
Well, it wouldn't be Dublin if it wasn't.
Exactly. And what are you going up in Dublin for? Is this business or purely pleasure?
Oh, no, this is like a regular on Meg's side family little trip that they'll do most Christmases. It's either, strangely enough, the Netherlands or Dublin. We've been to the Netherlands a couple of times, and this year it's Dublin. So really looking forward to it. Go down, have a couple of nice meals, have a lot of nice drinks, and just spend a wee bit of time in the fair city.
Oh, fantastic. Have a great time, I'm sure.
But I'm sure we'll listen to that song quite appropriately. One more
I dare say that will turn up once or twice. reading. Okay, so following your lead, I have now got the hardback, the bullet journal method. So I'm going through that with a very light pencil and a very light touch, just making some notes. And I'm also just about to start. I just finished some other things I was reading. The Toll by Matt Gemmell. Fantastic. Yep. Recommend it. Go buy that.
Oh, good stuff. I've got the first one. I'm still working my way through it. So looking forward to the sequel.
Okay. But yeah, I'm about to start The Twoist of Auschwitz. There's some Christmas reading for you. And I've got several non-fiction books. I'm going to choose one or two of those. I think one of them is about rearing a puppy. So I might read that tonight while the dog keeps me up. What about you? Are you reading anything?
Yeah, I'm reading a book. I didn't talk about it last episode, but I have been reading it since last episode on my commutes, called Algorithms to Live By, which is a non-fiction book about using computer science principles and algorithms applied to real life, which is excellent. It's all about, you know, talking about different things computers do. So caching, where it's trying to store readily and frequently used information closer and on faster accessible media. And so it's relating this to real world things. So this guy was talking about how his wife was getting annoyed at him because he kept leaving his clothes on the floor. But when he tried to explain that he was actually just caching them for the next morning so they'd be readily accessible and easily picked up, that wasn't really going to fly.
Good luck with
but
that.
But it covers all kinds of stuff, from like finding a good parking space to when you should do things or why you should do things. It's really, really good. I'm reading to the end of it, and then I'm going to go back and sort of glean the five or six algorithms that I can then apply and sort of write them out in my notebook, because they're really, really helpful. It's really interesting. Different ways of thinking about things. A lot of statistics and maths wouldn't normally be my thing, but this is cold, hard science, and it's very reassuring to me to be able to apply that to some sort of real world scenario. So I can say, well, in the face of complete confusion, at least I can guesstimate on something that is better than chance. So a lot of it is like, if you just randomly pick something, there is a percentage like this, whatever, 50, 40, 30%, that you will get the answer you want. Whereas if you use this, you know, proven algorithm, or you try and work it out this way, you might get 57, 70%, whatever it is. It's a slight improvement on random chance. And so that's somewhat comforting to me.
Okay, well, I'm going to look that one up, because I'm quite interested by that. But
it's really good. I probably butchered the kind of synopsis of it, but I'm really, really enjoying it. And it's worth picking up. As soon as I saw the title, it was in the basket, because I couldn't leave it on the fictional digital shelf.
Well, here's one to perhaps compare and contrast with that. You may already have read this, I don't know. It's called The Dice Man.
Nope.
You should look that one up. If Dice I can Man. Make the internet work at some point, I will. I'll get a link and send it to you for the show notes. But it's almost the diametric opposite. So it's a man who, as an experiment, allows his life to be entirely controlled by a dice.
Ooh.
So for any decision, he comes up with the sort of six possible outcomes, gives them a number, and then rolls a die. Whichever one it is, that's what he does.
That's interesting. So it's almost like D&D in real life.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite of an algorithm. That might be an interesting read to sort of see how those two things compare.
Okay.
I shall dig that out.
Yeah, it'll all be in show notes. And then I'm also reading, I started today, the Bujo Bullet Journal book. Mm-hmm. So I got about a chapter into that. I'm really enjoying it. It's a little bit, preachy would be a strong word, but it is very ambitious about what it's trying to solve. It's not just a way to write things in your notebook. It's a way to change your entire outlook on life, which it may well be, but I find myself quite skeptical about things. Again, the algorithms thing, same principle. It's like, okay, that makes sense and I might apply it, but is it really useful? The bullet journal thing, I think we talked about it last time. The concept is fascinating. The idea, I think, will really work. The longevity is what I want to check. Like, if it's great for 2 weeks and then I fall off the wagon or it stops being useful, I don't know. So,
yeah, I mean, I think I know exactly what you're saying about the tone. And to me, it's very interesting. This is, you know, it's probably 5 years down the road for Ryder Carroll, the guy behind the bullet journal method. And the tone has evolved over that time. I think partially because I don't think he knew what he was getting into. And a key element of understanding this whole system, for me at least, is understanding why he came up with it. And he does have a learning difficulty.
Yeah, ADHD, I think diagnosed, it was.
Yeah, he was diagnosed quite late. And he sort of developed this, the bullet journal system as a coping strategy. But what's most interesting is if you sort of follow the early videos, which is still up on his YouTube channel, it is much less prescriptive. It's much more about, this is kind of what I do, but you can do a variation on this. It might work for you, and you know, your mileage may vary. Whereas the book has come across to me as much more assertive. And as you say, preachy would be too strong a word, but there is an element of,
there's a taste.
Appealing to the market, perhaps, might be the best way to put it.
But there's nothing wrong with that if it works. It's just a tone that I've noticed in it.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. But I'll be interested to hear what you think when you really battle through to the end.
Yeah, I am enjoying it, so I think I'll be hopefully through it by Christmas. So it's definitely on the non-fiction reading list now, so we can but see, and we can compare notes at some stage.
Oh, splendid. And what about drinking?
Drinking? Well, currently, drinking. I am. Yeah, it's Christmas. I got a drink. currently, I'm drinking the last of the summer cider, or the quite, what was the word? I've completely blanked on the word I need.
Well, this is podcast gold.
Oh my goodness!
I don't know, cider, apples.
No. The word bourbon. Was. I'm currently drinking the. What? Yep. Oh no, it's gone. It's the when you mix the beer and the 7 Up.
Radler.
That's the one. Or what was
Shandy.
The other?
That's Shandy.
So we had quite a contentious conversation about whether it was a Shandy or a Radler or some sort of something in between. And I've drunk so much of it, apparently I can't remember what it's called. But I'm finishing one of those off, which was kindly given to me. But yesterday I had myself a little Maker's Mark with a single ice cube. And I'm gearing up for Christmas, which means Schlur, which is non-alcoholic, and Bailey's. And whatever else is going.
Yeah, that's one of the dangers of Christmas. Oh, just have a Bailey's. No, just don't. I'm sure everybody knows what Bailey's is. It's whiskey diluted with some sort of cow product. Nonsense. Anyway. Well, I'm on claret this evening. Just having a little cheeky glass of claret. I had a glass of wine.
Very nice.
Last time we recorded, I had quite a lot of claret, I think. judging by the way I felt the next morning, oh dear. Oh, I may have had one too many there. but no, we're being reasonably restrained. As I say, we're going through a very weird sort of thing, which is less than perfect weather in Cyprus. It's not something I'm terribly accustomed to. And it's a very relative thing. I'm not complaining by any stretch of the imagination, but it's, you know, Margaret and I have been looking at each other and go, what's that? I believe it's called stuff. Rain, darling. Yeah. Yes. Water falling from the sky. Bizarre. Fortunately, the dog seems completely unbothered by it. So she sleeps through electrical storms without a thought. It's just sleeping through the evenings or the nights that she's not ready.
Yes. About. Yes, that's the issue. Mm.
And what about buying? You've been spending money. I mean, you've been spending some with me. Thank you very much. But other than that.
Yeah. Christmas gifts, last minute bits and pieces. Bought a few bits and bobs from you because, I mean, if I'm going to get notebooks, there's only one place I'm going to get them. So, yeah, odds and sods mostly. Just trying to get the last few things. I have everything I think I need for Christmas except for the last little bits, you know, when you're not quite sure it's finished. So, just trying to fill in those gaps. But for the most part, the broad strokes are done. Everybody's accounted for. And it's just wrapping and gifting now.
Jolly good. Well, I'm not doing much. To be honest, we're at that sort of stage now where there's some sort of semi-competitive buying going on, where having agreed that nobody's going to buy anybody anything, wrapped things keep appearing under the Christmas tree. And yeah. whenever one does, the other person, like Margaret, goes, and suddenly something appears from her wrapped. And this will continue now for a couple of more days until eventually there'll be a frank exchange of views. And then I'll discover that she's actually wrapped up a roll of toilet paper or something.
I was going to say, some sort of gifting armistice is going to happen at some stage.
Indeed, yeah. Spices are present to each other. Yeah, there's a few bits and pieces that are there. And you know, we've got a sister here, so we want to make a little bit of a thing of it.
Yeah.
Other than that, house repairs. I had the guys here greasing my manhole covers. And no, that is not a euphemism. just trying to make sure that all sewage-type smells stay in the septic tank and all the nice smells stay in the house. I think that's probably enough said about that.
Yeah.
And also, I've got a leaky roof, so they're working on that, or they will do if it stops raining for long enough. But generally speaking, yes, I'm just taking large amounts of money and giving it to these guys and doing a variety of things for me. But there you go. As you know, the joys of house ownership.
Yeah, speaking of, I bought a new washing machine and the other one is currently devaluing the rest of the properties by sitting in our back garden. the one we bought works great, looks lovely, and rest in peace our electric bill, because the thing hasn't been on non-stop since we bought it, trying to catch up with the backlog.
And is it one of those washer-dryer things? Because they really can burn through the national grid.
No, we have just both. So we have a washer and a dryer. So not only can we, it's not just a case of like, oh, we put it on, it runs for a long time. We have both simultaneously running on asynchronous loads of washing. And so we just have, I can basically see the meter spinning.
I was going to say, we have an old-fashioned electric meter here. And it's in a cupboard on the external wall. I've just had the door replaced, in fact. And when I, we have a well from which we can pump water, which I use to irrigate the garden and stuff. And when you press the button to start this pump, you see the little dial start whizzing around. it's the best way to control electricity I've ever seen, because you look at that and you instantly feel yourself wanting to go and turn lights off.
Yep. Yeah, those are my pennies or my cents.
Yeah, disappearing. Because it's an old analog dial just spinning. You just see the metal disc spinning. It's so effective.
Pennies.
Yeah, pennies turn into pounds. Parish notices and life changes, I suppose. A washing machine for you, a dog for me, or the continued joys of housebreaking a dog. Yeah, that's kind of me, really. It's all been about that. She dominates our lives at the moment, but she's a gorgeous wee thing. And I don't think it's unfair of me to say, she is the brightest living creature in the house. she's, I would say, probably a week away from unlocking her own cage.
Dear.
Astonishing. And she creates ladders. So she pulled a couple of cushions up in front of the couch so that she could sort of step up to the getting on the couch. This is a puppy that is give or take 12 weeks old.
My goodness. Yeah, you're going to have your hands full.
I think so. Right, well, as instructed, we have raced through the regulars. That's only 25 minutes. That's almost on time, isn't it?
Almost. I mean, it's 6 minutes over, but it's not bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, by our standards, that's astonishing. So what's the topic tonight?
This topic this week is Christmas and the traditions that follow with it. Everybody has something different. Everybody does everything different. Not everybody celebrates Christmas, of course, but I think both of us do. And I thought it'd be interesting to try and look at the differences, because for me anyway, I have had the same sort of broad stroke Christmas experience for 26 years of my 27. And this will be the first year ever that it's changed. And it's that kind of, once you reach a certain age, you have to kind of realize that you're not having Christmas at your parents all the time. You're not having Christmas the normal way you did as a child all the time. And that is this is the first year that has changed. So it's going to be quite different. And it's something I'm not dreading it. I just think it's going to be a novel, different experience. And I'm looking forward to trying to see everyone. That's my main concern, is that I get to see everybody at Christmas. That's all that really matters. But yeah, a little bit of juggling, a little bit of driving up and down. But for the most part, the same concepts, the same things will happen, just in different orders and in different places.
So how's it changed then?
So normally, especially when I was living in England and flew home for Christmas to see my folks, Christmas Eve would be spent at my parents' house or pottering around or out with my parents and family. Christmas and morning.
What was Christmas Eve about? I mean, what happened? I mean, did you sit around reading, playing cards? Was it a social
thing?
It was
mostly just a relaxed kind of take it easy day. We didn't really go out that much. Sometimes we would go to the cinema in the evenings to see like an early, maybe 6 p.m. film. And then come home and just sort of sit with a fire lit and a movie on and some snacks and some food and just enjoy everybody's company, because it's not often that everyone will be in the house at the same time.
Okay.
I have two younger brothers. And so as we've all gotten older, they have now, either one of them's moved out, one of them is at university. They're doing all sorts of things. So it's not the same dynamic. And so Christmas Eve has always been that nice time where everyone has made time to be home. I made time to be there. And so it was always very much just relax, chill, do whatever you want. It's not about all being together and doing the same thing at the same time. Some people would be in the living room, some people would be upstairs, but we're all in the same place and we're all eating and enjoying each other's company.
Okay, for sure. So then Christmas Day, what happens? You all get up at 0300 to open your presents?
I mean, when we were younger, it was like, I feel for my dad, because I'm sure we had him dragged up at 7 a.m., 6:30, 6:45 for years and years and years. In recent years, it's been a bit more sedate. It's been a bit more kind of, okay, well, we'll get up when we're all ready to get up. And we still have that notion of, like, my parents will put stuff out in the living room. So my mother goes overboard for Christmas and buys far too much for everybody. She loves giving gifts. And so we'll all come into the living room and everything will be laid out. And we'll sit down and we'll open presents and we'll eat chocolate at 8 in the morning.
Yeah, of course, as you do.
Drink and do all the normal Christmas stuff that I think a lot of people are aware of. And it's really nice. That's kind of the time to exchange gifts. And that's basically just my two brothers and my parents and myself. Okay. And that's kind of the morning. So that's from, I would say, probably more like 10 or 11 through until 1 o'clock. That'll be us.
Okay.
In the afternoon, we would tend to go and see my mum's family and we'd have Christmas lunch. And then in the evening, we go see my dad's family up in Belfast. And we do more like a buffet. So,
okay.
Like sausage rolls, cocktail sausages, little snacks.
Oh, cheese crisps. And pineapple on sticks.
Yeah, all that stuff. All that
loving
stuff.
Loving it. Yeah.
So that would be the normal divide. And
we have to stop there, teacher. There's a load of American listeners who've just gone, what? So little cubes of cheese. Yep. Ostensibly cheddar, but generally it's some sort of plastic, I think, isn't it?
It's just yellow. It's yellow.
Some sort of yellow.
I'm not even conscious that it's cheese.
And then a little sort of chunk of tinned pineapple. And you put the two of those on a cocktail stick, and there you are. That's, I don't know when that started. Was that a 70s thing that came in, do you think? Probably. I don't know.
That and aspic jelly, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, a British buffet, it's not complete without them, is it?
That, yeah, and sausage rolls. My goodness. What would a house be without sausage rolls at Christmas?
It is. I've just crossed myself at the very thought of a sausage roll. And your Christmas lunch, is that the full Monty?
Oh, yeah, that works. Yeah, that works. The Christmas turkey. We would always do turkey and ham and the bits and pieces. My soon-to-be sister-in-law, her husband would sort of go a wee bit further out and do goose and things like that.
Oh, okay.
But for the most part, my family would be, traditional is the wrong word, but more sort of normal in doing the turkey now, which I think is the standard. And then with evening up on my dad's folks, and then that was kind of it. We kind of ran down the clock on Christmas Day. You always felt like you didn't get any time to actually look at anything you got or talk to anybody that much. It was kind of just a flurry from one place to another.
It's all just eating, isn't it? And if you're not eating...
Eating, drinking, and moving between places to do both. Yeah. But that was Christmas Day, and I was always quite a whirlwind. And then Boxing Day has always been the day to kind of just relax, take our time, and we don't normally go out over the door. So Boxing Day was always just my family. My dad would do another Christmas lunch in the afternoon. So we'd get up again, sort of maybe 10 o'clock, and potter around the house, and he would put the food on, and it would just kind of all come together about half one, 2 o'clock. We'd just sit down as a family, have a little Christmas lunch, and then basically just sit around the house. We were younger, it would be video games and toys and all that stuff. When we're older, it's video games and toys and books. And
fall asleep in front of The Great Escape.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Christmas television, another, you know, sort of normal staple. But Boxing Day has always been the relaxing, so the actual time to enjoy Christmas, whereas Christmas Day is a bit of a roller coaster of, oh, right, well, we've got to go and see your auntie, and we've got to go up here, and we've got to do that, and we've got to drive here, and we've got to go over here. Did you see so-and-so? Oh, did you get some photos? Just non-stop. And Boxing Day is the nice reprieve. And then the day after Boxing Day, it all feels like it's over, done with.
Okay. All right. And so that's not happening this year.
This is the first year in 26 or 27 that is not happening. Because my parents, very supportive, always incredibly supportive, are doing the, you may have a house, you're getting married, you don't need to come to us if you don't want to, and if it works easier to go to Megan's folks. And it's trying to balance. So Meg and I have done sort of separate Christmases in parts. So Meg would normally come over on Christmas Day in the evening, and I would go over to Megan on Boxing Day in the afternoon. So there's kind of there's been a reciprocal kind of thing there. Sure. And this year, my mom sort of said, look, we don't want to make you come down. I know you want to see people, but we don't want to try and drag you away. There's a point where you guys have to do your own Christmas and sort of think what you want to do. So you're not going to offend us. You do whatever you want to do. And it did. It was kind of that point where we're going, right, well, we have to make a decision 1 year. And we have the house, so it seems like a nice starting point for a new tradition. So this year, we're going to try on Christmas Eve to see my dad's folks and my mum's folks. Sort of do a little running tour, go and see people, drop in, say hello, get a cocktail sausage and some glass of wine, that kind of thing. Christmas Day, I'm with Megan's folks. Across the other side of Loch Ness. And then Boxing Day, my parents and my brothers are coming to our house, and we're going to christen this new house with a little Christmas shindig.
Oh, fantastic. So you're doing the cheese and pineapple and sticks?
Yes, I've taken on that holy flame, and I will carry it forward.
Absolutely. Get yourself down to quiche. Got to have a bit of quiche, mate. A little slice quiche of quiche. Lorraine. Because then everybody looks at that and goes, well, it's a healthy option.
cheeky salad.
Yeah, I know how it works. Now, that sounds pretty chilled, actually. That sounds like you're going to be perhaps less, I suppose, obliged. Because you're not going to be doing so much driving around.
It'll be weird because it is the first year of change, right? So it's always going to be standing out as it is not the same. But it doesn't necessarily need to be worse. I'm not sure it's going to be 1,000 times better, but I think it will be more relaxed. So we're probably going to do most of our running around on Christmas Eve during the day, hopefully. Christmas Eve evening, drive up to Cookstown to Meg's folks. And then from there, we're kind of there through Christmas Day. And then we come back up to our house, which isn't too far. It's about 45, 50 minutes drive from here.
Okay.
And we come back here. And then we kind of rinse and repeat with the Christmas dinner, but it's a bit more relaxed. We'll just do like a turkey crown and a ham with my parents and my brothers. And we kind of christen this house, which is something we really wanted to do, actually, because where do you draw the line? If you have your own house, if you're getting married, you have to start a tradition somewhere. So we thought, why not do it now? Because we have the house. It kind of feels like a natural fit. We got it in November, Christmas in December. Start the new year with a new tradition.
Yeah, and I think you've done it in quite a gentle way there, if you see what I mean, because you still haven't, or you still won't be waking up in your own house on Christmas morning, which is probably the next step.
Yes.
But as you say, there's other people's feelings to consider, and it doesn't matter how supportive people are or aren't. It's, you know, as you say, change can be a little bit difficult, a little bit threatening.
Yeah, it's a transition. But I mean, I don't even know if I'm... You know, if I would want to be here, because, you know, Meg and I don't have kids. It's something we want to do, but we haven't got kids yet. So it would literally just be the two of us waking up on our own in this house with all of our family, brothers and sisters in different houses. So mm-hmm. it doesn't really make sense to do that yet. It makes sense to have something in this house. But as for us not being here on Christmas Day, that doesn't really bother me yet. It's another bridge to cross in maybe 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, it's a process.
Yeah. So that's our Christmas.
It's funny, just as we were speaking there, I saw flash up on my phone a message on one of the messenger services from my cousin. It's definitely that time of the year. I think she's probably asking for my address. She thinks a Christmas card's going to get to Cyprus at this sort of... she's got no chance. But anyway.
Yeah, you send that stuff in September.
Yeah, the way the post is working here, I'm not even sure that's good enough. It sounds like it could be a lot of fun. So you're looking forward to it, obviously.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's a different thing, but like you say, everyone's being considered, and we will hopefully see everybody and have a little bit of time with everyone. And the whole point of Christmas, the whole point of spending all this time, money, and effort on gifts, on dinners, and all that stuff is just as an excuse to spend time with people you want to spend time with. And so that's what we're doing. It's different, and it's a different format than previous years, but that's no bad thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure Meg is very laid back about it, because she's laid back about everything, really.
Yeah, Meg is total chill about everything. She's like, yeah.
But you sound relatively settled with it, so.
Yeah, I mean, we have to change something somewhere. You know, mm-hmm. We can't just keep pretending we're 10 years old. I'm 27. It doesn't work. And like I say, we need to start a tradition somewhere. And so I'm happy to do that when we have the house. It feels like a natural point to do something different. And the idea of having my parents and my brothers in this house with Meg and making a lovely meal and spending some time together watching, you know, terrible Christmas movies, mm-hmm. that sounds like a wonderful way to make some good memories and sort of christen the house going forward for Christmas time.
Sure. And I mean, there is, you know, there's a lot of pleasure in being the host.
You know, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
You will feel your chest expand and feel proud. This is my house. And, you know, drink this, eat this. What do you mean you don't want more cheese and pineapple? Get that down you.
I've made 14. You need to eat them. They only last so long.
Exactly. Otherwise, I've got them for breakfast tomorrow. It's lovely. It's great.
What about yourself?
It's all change for us. Is it all change? I don't know. It's probably all change for Margaret more than it's all change for me. What do we do? I mean, our sort of traditional Christmas since Margaret and I got together, as has been mentioned, Margaret's Italian. So on the 24th of December, around lunchtime, we start eating. And we stop... I don't know, about
January?
Midnight the 26th. And people think I'm joking when I say that. I'm not. she's got three sisters. And when we were all living in or around London, then there would be a sort of tour that would go on. And, you know, one family would be hosting it. And there would be, 15, 20, 25, 30 people for lunch. But on Christmas Eve, the Italian tradition is you eat fish, a lot of fish. It's a sort of meat-free day. But it would be one of those Italian meals where you literally sit down around lunchtime and you get up again around midnight.
wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of food, a lot of drink. And there's breaks in between. And there would be, I don't know, 4 or 5 televisions on in various corners of the room. So that somebody's watching the Italian football and somebody else will be watching Carol singing from Winchester and somebody else will be watching the news and everybody will be talking at the same time in multiple languages at more volume than I've ever heard anywhere. But somehow it all works. You just sort of fall in, or I just fell into it. I mean, I would obviously fall into a bottle of wine. That would get things going for me. And then on Christmas Day, because Margaret's dad, mum and dad sort of emigrated and her sisters were born in Sicily and came over, there's this whole sort of marriage of tradition. So not sure what to do with the food, the Italians decided they would eat all of the food. So you get, and again, people think I exaggerate. I don't, all right? I'm underselling this. So you will get antipasti, which might be, I don't know, might be prawns. There'd be some salami, some cheese. And that would go on for, I don't know, an hour. There'd be quite a lot of drink available. And we'd all be having a great time. I would be chatting away with nephew number two, nephew number four. They have got names, but it's just been far too complicated, so I just numbered them. and I've got nephews that are older than me. Go figure that. Anyway, we're all sitting there having a great time, eating the antipasti, at which point out will come lasagna. Now, British people have a problem with lasagna. They don't understand this. And I imagine that it's the same in the States, although there'll be some parts of the States where lasagna is done properly. I'm thinking probably New York Italians will know what I'm talking about. Lasagna is an amazingly complex dish, and it takes a lot of work. It does not come with salad. It does not come with chips, and it does not come pre-made in foil. It's a huge labor of love, and done properly, it's absolutely spectacular. And you get served a piece, certainly if you're a man like myself of a substantial stature. I'm looking here at the Bullet Journal Method hardback, and that's about the size lasagna that gets put on my plate. So
my goodness.
Probably 1,500 calories, 2,000 calories, I don't know, something like that. But it's just amazing. It's gorgeous. And if you can fight off the people trying to give you a second portion, having finished that, it's time to gird your loins, because now is coming a full-blown British Christmas dinner. Okay, so you're talking turkey, meat, potato, three ways. Six or seven vegetables, stuffing, I mean, the full Monty. If you survive that, there is then a sort of relay of dessert. And that relay will stretch for maybe 3 or 4 hours until the afternoon, which has now become the evening, goes full circle. And you're now back into cheese, salami, and all the while, the alcohol is getting stronger. So by this stage, you're probably on brandy. Vecchia Romana. I can barely see at this point. But you're not drunk because you've got 14,000 calories inside you. The alcohol is barely making a dent. And I don't get me wrong. It's absolutely fantastic to see... you know, often I would be there and there would be 3-4 generations of this family all together. Some of them quite probably hate each other. Some see each other every day. But the whole sort of dynamics of that for me, it was just fantastic to be a small part of that, just sort of a hanger on to that. It was amazing. But I have to say that when we moved to Hampshire and we were sort of out of that sort of immediate family loop. I think the best Christmas that Margaret and I had in Hampshire was we got up on Christmas Day morning and went for a really long walk with the dog. It was a bit sort of picture postcard. There was snow on the ground, but it was sunny and it was lovely. We took a really long walk and had a really sort of chilled day on our own. Without that whole sort of madness that surrounds an Italian Christmas. That was amazing. And now this year, we're over here, so we're miles away from anyone. We do have Margaret's sister staying, Adela. And that means that we're going to have a kind of mix-up. So Christmas Eve, I will be getting fed enormous amounts of fish. Fantastic. Love that. We've managed to swerve the whole lasagna followed by Christmas dinner thing. I've come up with this amazing suggestion that we can perhaps have the lasagna, which Italians take great pride in lasagna, as they should, because it's amazing when it's done properly. We're going to have that. That's going to be our Boxing Day thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's nice to push it back a little bit, give yourself some calorie room.
Because what I didn't do with the tale before is that having done Christmas Eve all day, Christmas Day all day, you then do it all again on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
It is like Groundhog Day, but with a million calories. So, yeah, we pushed the lasagna to Boxing Day. This year, we're having souvlaki, which is it's small pork cubes done on a barbecue. It's like a little rotisserie barbecue. So I will make little skewers that will turn over some burning coals. And we will have some salad with that. We'll have some pita bread, some dips. It'll be as far removed from a traditional Christmas for a Brit as you can imagine. It'll be the three of us. And before we have that, I will have gone for a swim in the Med.
That sounds lovely.
I don't care what the weather's like. It's Christmas Day. I want to swim in the Med and say I swam in the Med on Christmas Day. But normally you'd expect the sea temperature to be 19, 20 degrees centigrade.
So warm.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I'll find it cold. for anybody living in the Northern Hemisphere, sort of a bit further north, obviously that's astonishingly nice temperature.
Yeah, 66.2 degrees water temperature for the US people.
And it'll probably be sunny. So yeah, we'll go and have a little swim and then come back. I'll cook the barbecue. We'll have a couple of beers. And then, in the afternoon, I'm hoping that we'll get around the table and we'll play some board games. We have a friend who lives local, she's, I suppose, half Cypriot, half British. She's of an age with my sister-in-law. So there'll be the four of us, and hopefully we'll play old-fashioned parlour games, whether it be charades or Monopoly or, I don't know. That's what I would Heads like up. To do. But if it doesn't work, then we'll just put Netflix on and everybody will fall asleep and break wind at each other.
So here's a new one for you. If you get your smartphone, download a game called Heads Up, which is a little bit like charades, a little bit like Pictionary, that kind of thing. But you have the name of the person in your head and everybody else has to try and tell you so you can guess.
Okay.
So it's good fun. We play that quite a lot with Megan's folk. So it's really good, and it's an app.
I think I used to do it in training courses where you just put a post-it on someone's head.
Yeah, you could do that, but I mean, there's an app for it, so why would you not?
Oh, you millennials. You think you invented everything. It was an icebreaker for training courses. And in every training course, there would be an Elvis Presley and Adolf Hitler. Anyway. And then St. Stephen's Day or Boxing Day, I'm going to go and play golf. That's my ambition. Margaret, I think, will choose not to, because when I come back, there will be a lasagna that dreams are made of.
I need photos of this, by the way.
Oh, I dare say if you follow my personal Instagram, at Stu Lennon. is it at Stu? I think it's at Stu.
I'll put it in the show notes.
There will be lots and lots and lots of pictures. The food is stunning. And Margaret's sister... Margaret's a great cook, and her sister, as well as being Sicilian, married a Spaniard. So when it comes to making fish, oh, wow. So yes, I will eat like a king, which is fabulous. It's one of my favorite things. That'll be us. In Hampshire, we didn't do the big Italian family thing, but this is going to feel a lot more remote, I think, for her.
Yeah.
Having her sister here is fantastic. That gives me hope. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to something different, particularly as I can't stand turkey. So I'm not going to miss that element of Christmas at all. Look, I don't want to boast, TJ, but 51 minutes, and I think we've kind of covered Christmas traditions this year.
That's Christmas wrapped, done and dusted.
Oh, that's Christmas wrapped. He writes all his own stuff. He's here twice on Sundays. Try the veal.
Shall we just wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and let everyone get back to their leftovers and turkey?
Exactly. So whatever you're doing, folks, have a fantastic Christmas, and thanks for tuning in.
Thank you so much.
I've been Stuart Lennon.
And I've been TJ Cosgrove. Remember to make the past, the present, in the future. This was a festive Christmas Eve 1857.